Team 980. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. We'll take you up to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Number to call is 301-230-0980. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham, sitting in for our guy Kevin Sheehan as we talk all things D.C. sports as we take you around the DMV. Busy weekend here in our nation's capital. We had the big news off the top. The NFL draft coming to Washington, D.C. in 2027. It'll be on the National Mall. So super, super duper geeked up for that. And I'll continue to reference the chat. You can check us out on YouTube as well. The Team 980's YouTube page is where we're live and free as well. All right, Exit the Matrix said $500 million, the cost of the infrastructure for RFK 2.0, that probably gets covered with the NFL draft coming here to D.C. in 2027. So everything starting to make a lot more sense. One big hot-button topic over the weekend was, well, when the hell is this Caps playoff schedule coming out? When does that happen? When do we know when game one starts? That will be Tuesday. And joining us right now via the guest hotline to talk about game number one of round number two in the Stanley Cup playoffs is our guy John Walton, the play-by-play voice for your Washington Capitals on 106.7 The Fan, the Washington Capitals radio network. John, what's going on, my man? How are you?
Well, now I am good, sir. We got the second round coming up. Couldn't be more excited. Left for the Stanley Cup. Let's get this thing going. It's been too long.
I was saying it to super producer Mad Max before we got things kicked off this morning. To you, knowing the way this team finished the regular season, knowing how things went to end the year, you were losers of 4 out of 6. How impressed were you with their ability to quote-unquote flip the switch in round number one?
I mean, I was impressed. I wouldn't say that I'm surprised, just because this team, amazingly, didn't have a lot to play for in the last 2 months. And I think when you look at what the Florida Panthers did in their last 10 games, I think they were like 4-5-1. I mean, a lot of the teams that were coming down the stretch, the field was settled pretty quickly. The only thing that wasn't was the second wild card. Montreal ended up finishing very strongly because they had to, otherwise they weren't getting in, and Columbus would have been in.
Yeah.
But I wasn't surprised at all. I mean, I think with where they have been all season, they've been one of the most consistent teams in the NHL all year. And I was talking with Tom Wilson just yesterday about some of the years past. Like, I wanted to talk to a veteran guy. It's like, you know, you guys, for the most part in Tom's time here, it's not been easy, like 6 games, a lot of 7 games, game sevens and all that. This right. was very businesslike, where they said, you know what, we're the better team. And it was a tough series. I'm not saying it was easy. Montreal's a really good team. They're going to be good for a long time. But they took care of business. They got it done in 5. If you look back over the last 15 years, that hasn't happened very much. Even when they won the Cup, they were behind in every series. So really impressed how they did that, and I think this series might be the toughest they have, even if they won the Cup. This might be the toughest of all of them coming up right now.
We were, you know, getting a little mini preview in before we brought you on, John. Physicality going to be the name of the game in this one. We all know what happened in that early April game against Carolina when Connor McMichael gets slammed to the ice. Would you go out and say that, you know, these two teams are, I guess, rivals at this point? They split the regular season series at 2 games apiece. And then the last game that we saw was uber physical. Am I putting the chicken before the egg here when I call them rivals?
You know, it's kind of funny. Yes, I would think the short version's yes. And I think, and all kinds of respect what Carolina's done. Rod Brindamore is an unbelievable coach. What they've done the last 7 years, they were in kind of a hockey wasteland for about 7, 8, 9 years before that. They weren't drawing very well. They weren't playing very well. But they always look at Washington like, oh, that's our rival, because they were the closest team. And the right. Caps are like, yeah, that's cute. Like, I mean, you've got, you know, the Rangers, the Penguins, the Flyers. Right. I mean, you know, those old Patrick Division teams. But I do think that's changed a little bit just because they are very good, and they beat the Caps in that double overtime game in Game 7 in 2019. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the thing that's interesting is that a lot of people are going to point to in this series is, oh, well, the Caps haven't – they have trouble playing in Raleigh. Well, they did, but for the last 2 years – I haven't had dinner in Raleigh in almost 3 years because every time we go, it's the second half of a 2-2. We get in at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
You don't have a morning skate, and you play at 5 o'clock, and they've been sitting there waiting for us. And that's happened every time. 4 times in the last 2 years we've gone down there. So I don't put any stock in that. I put a lot of stock in how Carolina's playing right now. Spoiler alert, they're playing really well.
Yeah.
But the Caps are playing very well. And I think it's going to be potentially the best second-round series there is. It's not Washington-Pittsburgh year 2016, 17, 18, but right. It is pretty close to that. And I think whatever team gets out of this, if Carolina beats Washington, I'm going to say Carolina might be the favorite to win the Cup.
Wow.
If Washington gets out of this, I'm going to say Washington's the favorite to win the Cup because I like the way they match up with Toronto. I like the way they match up with Florida. I like the way they match up with Edmonton. I like the way they match up with Vegas. So, and Winnipeg has really hurt them. They barely got out of their first round last night. So I really like the way this is shaping up if the Caps can find a way to beat Carolina.
Joined right now by the play-by-play voice of your Washington Capitals, a guy, John Walton. You give him a follow on the X app at John Walton PXP. John, the most impressive player to me in the opening round was Logan Thompson. When you think about the injury that he suffered early in that series, and there was some doubt, you know, about, you know, whether or not he'd be available. I don't think he was able to put any weight on that leg as he was leaving the ice. He returns, comes back in net, and has been absolutely awesome. Is he the hottest tender right now in the NHL? And how impressed have you been with his ability to kind of overcome the injury bug here?
I've been incredibly impressed. And if you break down all the analytical numbers, and math was never my strong suit, but when you look at all of the numbers, they have him as the second-best goalie in the first round of every team. That's 16 teams, more than 16 goalies, and they've got him at number two. So. Yeah. I really believe that he was as advertised. He came up with a big save as he did. He's played as well now. Funny enough, he left Vegas, right? So Vegas gets out of the first round, but the guy he shared the net with, Aiden Hill, ranked 14 in goalies in the first round, and Logan ranked number two. I just thought that was funny. That, yeah, so, I mean, I'm sure, I mean, I would never ask Logan. I don't mess with the goalies this time of year. I don't even ask him for interviews because I don't want to bother him with anything. But if I was talking to Logan today, I would say, that'd be the first thing I'd ask him is that you going to tell me that that doesn't affect you?
Right.
I think it does in a good way. But, you know, the Caps would be able to go out and get him and cement him as a goalie. He's been fantastic. He made all the big saves when they need him, especially in game 3 and 4, or in game 4 in Montreal, and then in game 5 back here. So, yeah, really excited to see what he can do. Against probably Freddie Anderson, who got hurt in the first round but came back. We'll see how good he is. The goalie's going to be a big focus in this series.
100%. Something else I'll look at as well, John, is the power play attempts and, you know, how successful they are. You had 5 power play attempts in this opening round. The Caps were 3 for 5. How would you describe the advantage right now, and how key do you think it'll be in this second-round series?
I'm glad you brought it up because I think it's the key to the whole series. And the reason is Caps power play was not very good against Montreal, and the penalty kill statistically anyway. I know that some on the kill have suggested, hey, listen, like if you break it down, you know, there's a lot of good fortune that went into what Montreal did. But the truth is they had 5 power play goals.
At the end of the day, right?
Special teams. Right. I mean, listen, results matter, and you've got to be better on both, right? Whether it be penalty kill or power play, because power play for Carolina is very, very good. So there is discipline. There is riding that line without going over it. You've got to be physical, but don't take dumb penalties. Don't give these guys extra chances. And when you get your own chances, make the most of them, because they really didn't in the first 4 games. They beat Montreal at 5-on-5. And Montreal, they were clearly a better team than Montreal.
Right.
They are not clearly a better team when you play Carolina. So the special teams are going to matter even more in this series. And I think that's something that we're going to have to really have a focus on when this series starts tomorrow night and throughout the series. Who's winning the special teams battle? It better be Washington. If they want to move on, it has to be.
You mentioned, John, walking that tightrope of wanting to maintain that physicality, being big brother, so to speak, and then not going over the edge. I thought, you know, in the series finale, in the opening round, that they did a really good job of that. It feels like as that series waned on, they got more and more physical and the intensity ratcheted up. knowing the way the games went during the regular season versus Carolina, do you think there's like an extra chip on Washington's shoulder to come out and be the aggressor and try and set the tone early in this thing?
I mean, I don't know that it has as much to do with what happened when they were in Carolina last on April 2nd. I mean, certainly that's going to be in their mind. I think, you know, in a playoff series, you always come out and you want to be pretty physical in the early going anyway.
Right.
I think it's going to be quicker to get there because of that. But I think the eye on the prize here is that you've got to play within yourself. And I think the best example of that is Tom Wilson, veteran player, loves to play on the edge, you know, loves to mock the other team from time to time, as we saw. And, you know, all of that occurring in a manner that, you know, I think he really self-corrected and said as much. He said, look, game three was not a good game for him in that regard. And he said that. He's, look, I was on, you know, I'm paraphrasing a little, but he was on tilt. He was, you can't wait. Tom Wilson is way too important to this team for him to spend 17 minutes in the penalty box. And he did in game three. So he self-corrected. He drew other teams into penalties. And they were better in game four. They were good on special teams in game five, and they won. But I think following Tom's example is what they need to do. And I think that's very important throughout the series. You're going to get some aggression right away, but playing within that's going to be very, very, very vital.
John, you've been doing this for a very long time, and we have, you know, throughout this year, you know, amidst the chase of the goal-scoring record, the other big-time talking point and storyline is just how much this year's team really is, you know, connected and the synergy that they have. How important is that in the postseason, John? And I know it may seem like a low-hanging fruit question, but, like, how important is team chemistry come postseason time when, you know, everything is a little bit more important and the stakes are ratcheted up a little bit?
I think it's the most important time of the year for that, and this team is as good as I've ever seen, and it's wanting to battle through pain. Listen, there's a lot of pain this time of year. There's got to be will and want, and anything short of that, I'm not going to call out any specific Toronto Maple Leafs, but there have been a couple of guys when I watch their series, I'm like, the will and want's not there. Like, they're tremendous players, but I need more in crunch time. And that's what I see this team do. I see Connor McMichael relentless. I think he's absolutely ratcheted up offensively to another level. Nobody plays a perfect game this time of year. There's so many ebbs and flows to a playoff game. From the moment the puck dropped in game one, I love his game. I love his intensity. I love his skating ability. And you're playing for the guy in the locker stall next to you as much as you're playing for yourself. And I think we've seen that. I think we'll continue to see that. I think against Carolina, you need to see that. I think Carolina does that. They play for their coach and they play for each other. That's a damn good hockey team over there in Carolina. I've been really impressed. They made a playoff seven straight years now. You know, there was a time they were out in the wilderness. They're not. They are a legit Stanley Cup contender. Even with some of the moves they made in midseason that didn't work out for them, right now they're playing great, and they play for their coach. They play to an identity that is right in your face all the time, and a cap's going to have to be ready for that, but that's where that chemistry comes in. That's where that playing for your brother next to you certainly, you know, is a big part of what goes on here.
For sure. I definitely agree with you. I think during football season, a lot was made of the Commanders' chemistry, John, and how that helped them kind of outkick their coverage in terms of, you know, getting everybody to play their absolute best. I think you could say the same about this Washington Capitals group. John, is there an X factor in this series or a guy that must play well for Washington to come away with this thing?
I think, you know, there's always guys that rise to the occasion and score big goals. Brandon Duhaime, I think, was that guy in round one. I think when you look at this lineup, the guy that sees a lot of ice time that I know had a great year offensively and didn't see as much from, but I think in this series he's going to get a lot of hard minutes against Carolina, and it's defense first. But I think Pierre-Luc Dubois, maybe a little bit more offensively. And I think, you know, people look at what he did in the first round stats-wise, and they say, oh, he didn't do very much. And I say, that's just not true. I mean, he was tasked, and Spencer Carberry has said this, with defensive assignments to be able to shut down Montreal essentially is a one-line team. They're a very good first line, but if you can shut them down, and he was tasked with that a lot of D-zone starts. You're not going to get as many offensive chances. In this series, he's going to be tasked with a lot of the same things, but I think finding some offense. I feel like this would be a really big series for number 80. I think he's, you know, we kind of saw the beginning of the year where he was a little quieter, but he still ended up with 20 goals and a career high in points, and a lot of it came late in the year. I think getting his legs underneath him defensively and now maybe exploiting some of those offensive opportunities, I think that this could be a big series for him. That's one thing I'm going to look for.
Game one set for tomorrow night, live from Capital One Arena. You can hear the call, all 106.7 The Fan, the Washington Capitals Radio Network. John Walton, Ken Sabourin. John, we appreciate you making some time for us this morning, man. Looking forward to hearing you tomorrow night on the call.
Yeah, you bet, Linnell. Can't wait. Our time of year. Can't wait to get it going.
Yes, indeedy. One of the absolute best. Talking all things puck. Our pal John Walton. Give him a follow on the X app at John Walton PXP. I call him Johnny Pipes because he's got the best voice in the industry, in my opinion. Is he still on the line? Can you hear what I'm saying? Now I'm embarrassed.
I can hear that. That's good.
That's good.
That's good, though.
You're my man, though, Johnny. You're the man. Golly.
Thanks, Dang it, Max. Linnell. I appreciate that.
For sure. Dang it, Max. Now you embarrass me in front of Johnny. No, I absolutely love hearing John Walton on the call, man. His call of Alex Ovechkin breaking the goal-scoring record, going to live in infamy around here. Him and Joe Beninati, the voices of Capitals hockey throughout my childhood, I would say. Some of the absolute best. I'm just excited for them that they get to call big-time hockey again. And that 2018 run, that final call when they won the cup in 2018 from John Walton will forever.
Yeah,
it's going in the lore.
Eller for the draw. Like, yeah. I relive it in my head every time I hear him, and just having John on, it's a shame what the NHL does in terms of like regional sports networks when you get to the second round, because after the second round it becomes national exclusive. So TNT and ESPN will carry it the rest of the way. So we won't get John or we won't get Joe or Craig anymore, which is unfortunate.
Which is tough, yeah.
I love hearing them. They'll be doing pre and post games. If you want to tap into that on Monumental, please do. But yeah, John, having John on the call like throughout the playoffs, it adds local flair. And I mean, there's very few who do it better.
None that do it better. Very thankful that he was able to make some time for us this morning. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. More of the Kevin Sheehan Show. Linnell Willingham sitting in for our guy, Kevin. He's back with you tomorrow. We'll take you up to 1 p.m. as we do Monday through Friday here on this program. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. We'll revisit the big news that technically hasn't happened yet. Noon Eastern time, a big announcement. 1 p.m. Eastern time. A big announcement expected to come from the White House. That announcement, the NFL draft, coming right here to our nation's capital in 2027. More details on that next here on the Team 980.
All right, that news is right. The NFL draft will be coming to the Washington, D.C. in 2027. Early reports indicate that they intend to have the draft on the National Mall in front of the Washington Monument. This weekend, the Nats take two over the Cincinnati Reds. They win last night 4-1. C.J. Abrams continues his 10-game hit streak, and Mackenzie Gore pitched 5 innings, 1 earned run, and 9 strikeouts. Michigan head coach Sharon Moore will serve a school-mandated 2-game suspension to begin the 2025 college football season related to the Connor Stallion sign-stealing incident. Heap of Game 7s over the weekend. The NBA Nuggets move on over the Clippers, 120-101, and the Warriors dominated the Rockets last night, 103-89. The Nuggets will move on to face the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Warriors will take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Stars beat the Avs 3-2 after trailing 0-2 in the third. Mikko Rantanen dropped a third-period hat-trick to slay his former team to lift the Stars over the Avs 3-2. Winnipeg Jets beat the Blues in double overtime last night after scoring 2 goals to tie it in the final minute. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.